Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John makes an awkward joke on Election Day and has a magical and questionable encounter with a bald eagle. Meanwhile, I plan a weekend of comedy shows in the path of the coming eclipse, which may also lead to me sleeping in my car. Plus a conversation about compatibility in marriage and why it's not the most important thing. Today's episode is not sponsored by wearing pajamas at the airport. This travel season, let the world know you've given up. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Johnny, now we're recording into the 300s. I mean, this is just getting ridiculous.
301.
There's a lot to talk about that. It doesn't seem like any more than 299 to me in the field.
Let's just take a break.
You think maybe it should? Is it time?
Let's just come back.
Let's go away so they can miss us?
Let's sunset this thing.
We'll come back to the new show, talk about this.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's great. And thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
We're glad to be here with you. It's spring. Is it spring yet? No.
No.
Not really, but it feels springy around here.
Days are getting a little longer.
Yes.
In a good way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you say a day is long, it's bad.
Have we had the... Oh, it's this weekend. This weekend is the...
Is it?
Is the time change.
I want to verify. You're right. Daylight savings time is this weekend.
Well, by the time this is aired, they'll already be in.
They'll already be an hour ahead of us right now in the future.
Whoa.
I know.
We just blew our own minds.
That was crazy.
There's so much coming up. And speaking of that, we've got the big solar eclipse coming up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did something, you know, we talked about my social media kind of growing some. And sometimes you go, you're like, my routing is crazy. We talked about that last week. My routing is like, I'll go to San Antonio, then this next place will be like, will you come to Vermont? It'll be the next day, and I'll be like, yeah. And then I'll end up going from Texas to Vermont. And I hate it. Not that I hate Vermont. I just hate the routing. Like, I want to be able to stay. If I'm in Florida, I want to do four shows in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But sometimes you can't. You have to go where you're told.
But there's not four people in Florida that want you to do shows.
I'm not at that level. Thank you. That's exactly right, John. I'm not popular. But I did reach out because I was like, I'm going to be in April. So this is a little plug for my tour as well. But April 6th, like 18 months ago, we booked this because Leslie, Arkansas, which is this tiny town in Arkansas, but they're having a big festival the whole week because they'll have an extra 100,000 people in town.
Wow.
Like some of these towns that are along the, what's called the path of totality, which is really,
that's
sounds
very
grandiose,
ominous.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're in the path of totality. They are like expecting all these extra people. And so people are just camping out. So hotel rooms are $500 and all this. So it's crazy. And they're just taking full advantage. But some of them are booking special events. And one of them is a fan of mine. And they're like, hey, we'll have them at the theater, the history, you know, whatever. There's some pavilion, and like, hey, have a comedy show. So they booked me months. I didn't even know the eclipse was a thing yet. They're like, oh, the big eclipse is coming in 2024. We're going to book you for that. Okay, great. So now I realize the eclipse is on the 8th, and I don't want to come all the way back here where we've got some dumb 88%,
ugh,
eclipse, because in Asheville, we're not in the path of totality. So I was like, I want to hang around. So I put out a social media post thinking like, I'll try. I said, hey, if there's anybody want to book me for April 7th, the next day, that you're in the path. And I put the map up, and I photoshopped it to like Path of Hilarity, which I thought, that's pretty funny. And I got like 100 comments. And then I got like 5 or 6 booking requests just from that social media post. Wow. Of places that would want to have me. And one of them worked out. I'm now going on April 7th to a town called Vincennes, Indiana, which is in the path. They're so far in the path of totality, they're going to have a 4.5-minute eclipse.
Wow.
4.5 minutes of total darkness.
Wow.
It's one of the longest in the nation.
I mean, it'll be just like what it feels like at night for hours.
Well, but yeah. Yeah, John, it's going to be. Well, because, you know, we had the path. We were in the path of totality in 2017.
And it was amazing.
But it was only like 2 minutes.
But do you remember what happened in that 2 minutes?
Oh, it was wild.
Like in that 2 minutes.
You heard crickets.
No. Well, what happened, I think I've told the story before.
Animals are confused.
But like I saw, I kid you not, a bald eagle fly about 30 feet above my house.
Okay.
Right in the middle of the eclipse.
Really?
Yes. A
bald
eagle.
You don't think
this
was just like a...
Johnny, people were there. And then, you want to know how I can verify that?
Okay.
My friend Andrew,
uh-huh,
who we know very well.
Sure.
Was over here at Lillian's house, which is about, I would say, 5 miles?
As the eagle flies.
and he saw a bald eagle fly over right before the eclipse started.
This feels like one of those like prophecy things. It's a blood moon.
It really was.
I saw a bald eagle.
And it was going the same way. And I was like, if we were two other pastors right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think these were the same bald eagle?
They were the same eagle. Yeah, because he could tell me his trajectory, where it was going.
Oh, boy.
Because it was flying south.
Yeah.
Technically, it would be flying south, west. And so my house is southwest from here.
Yeah.
And then in a few minutes later, bald eagle right over my house. What are the odds, Johnny? I'm telling you, something was happening.
The odds are zero, and the odds are high that both of you are crazy. You're looking into the sun, and then you see something. You saw a little floaty, and you're like, that's a bald eagle.
Johnny, how could you do... Johnny, I'm not that guy. I don't just make up bald eagles out of the thin air.
Do bald eagles, are they even native to Tennessee?
You don't see them a lot, but sure.
You see them only during...
I think they come out for the eclipse.
Everybody knows that.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so...
Sorry about that.
I'm now going to be in Vincennes for a ticketed show on April 7th. But here's the problem. Not only... Because this place in Leslie, Arkansas that booked me, it's an all-inclusive fee that they're paying me. It doesn't include a hotel. And I was like, no big deal. I always get my own hotel a lot of these places.
No, you won't.
Well, now I'm getting close to the thing.
Now you're being eclipsed.
I am.
By the crowd.
So literally, I'm going to make like $5 when this is all said and done because my hotel is going to be so expensive. They're trying to find me. I go, see if you can find somebody that has an Airbnb or something. I'm going to be on somebody's couch.
Yeah.
But then we booked the thing in Vincennes and the same thing's happening. They go, hey, we'd love to have Johnny. And then we booked it. And then they go, by the way, you know, there's no hotels.
Can you drive an hour and find a hotel somewhere?
Well, no. If you drive an hour, you're going to be in a out of the path of totality. I want to be
after
there.
After you see it. It only lasts 4 minutes.
No, I'm saying the night of my show. It's the next day. It's like at 1 p.m.
Stay
the next
an hour
day.
Away. Drive in and make sure you're there in time to see it.
But there might be a lot of traffic. We don't know. We do not know what it's going to... We do not know the scale of this. It could be like a hurricane evacuation route kind of traffic.
Wow.
Getting to the path of totality the days before this thing. Like people are planning,
if you can catch a ride with a bald eagle.
People are planning their whole vacations around this and stuff. So all that said, if you have a place in Vincennes, Indiana,
I found
a hotel in between Leslie, Arkansas and Vincennes. I'm staying like halfway in a town called Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And my hotel was $240, by the way.
Wow.
So that's reasonable for this.
Yeah.
It's not reasonable, but it's reasonable considering what else I was seeing. Bald eagles and stuff. So, but if you're in Vincennes and you have a place to stay, maybe it's on your floor. Maybe it's a fold-out couch where there's a bar in my back. That's fine.
Yeah.
Just reach out to me on my website and let me know, and I would be honored to have...
Otherwise, Johnny's going to be sleeping in his rental car. Do you have a car yet?
I have a car, and the car was... To rent the car for the 4 days, because I'll have a car for 4 days, it was almost $800.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So everyone's got the supply and demand is happening here.
Yeah, it's like a, yeah. People are taking advantage, like it's the end of the world or whatever. Yeah. They know what they can get. So it's pretty wild. But I'm excited to be going to Vincennes, Indiana. And I'm excited for the eclipse. I didn't want to miss it because I was like, I don't want to come all the way back here. I'm already going to be out there in the range of it. I want to experience it. My brother's going to be with me. We just bought our glasses because my brother was like, if you're going to get eclipse glasses, you better get them now. And I was like, you're right. So I ordered some off of Amazon. It said they were NASA approved.
Wow.
Because you don't want to get some cheapy.
No.
You look up, you're like, now my retinas are
burned. I
can
remember when Sadie was little, they had an eclipse, and like the teacher, they did some craft.
Yeah, you can make a little paper thing.
And you put a hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, like, can we not buy glasses to make sure that our children don't burn out their retinas? Like, instead of, what if they're super glue or whatever, their Elmer's glue didn't hold.
Yeah.
You know, now my child's staring at the sun, you know.
Not great.
Yeah. So you're not making your own glasses, would you
say? No. I mean, somebody made them, and they sold them to me, and now I'm hoping that you're just taking their word for it. There's a lot of trust that goes on with these eclipse glasses.
Ugh.
There's a lot of trust out there.
It's up there with neurosurgeons and...
But I'm excited about the eclipse. I don't even know if you've thought about
Walter Cronkite.
Are you going to try to get somewhere near the path? You should. Or are you just going to like live here and just be like, oh, 80% is good for me? God, what a loser.
It's funny. I tell Sadie all the time, like, hey, listen... 80% is okay, is good.
Oh, okay, that's true.
Because I'll say, like, hey,
you're making a high B.
If you want your day, I'm not even talking about that. If you want your day to go well,
okay, sure.
Something's going to happen that wasn't like, if you had an 80% day, that's a good day. We don't need to act like that's a horrible day.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Be okay with it. You know what I'm saying?
So,
no day is going to be 100,
yeah.
Except Johnny traveling in the path of totality.
I just wanted to make a whole tour of the eclipse path, because the path of hilarity, and we did it. We booked it.
It's fascinating.
I mean,
you went to two destinations.
Yeah.
To make a tour. Johnny.
It's not really a tour. It's a weekend.
Right. Because the sun will only do this for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if anyone else would book you to do other shows so you can keep going to different towns.
I wonder if anybody will come because they're going to be like, no, we're planning our, I don't know what you do the night before the eclipse or their big like pre-eclipse.
Oh, those eclipse eves.
You don't go to a.
I can remember when I was a kid.
We can't go to the comedy show.
Right.
We got packing to do. I don't know what you...
Hey, kids.
The weird thing is people are going to watch it, and then immediately, if you're not living in that town, you're just going to hit the road. And so there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people just getting on the road all at once. So it is going to be weird.
You need to get a picture of that right after, because you had just performed. Like, this is what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody just left. Nate had a thing about that when he did drive-ins during the pandemic, because he did a bunch of drive-in shows. Because people were so worried about COVID, and so there was these outdoor shows. And he's like, it's so strange to be performing, and then you see someone's headlights come on and then back out as you're on stage. Like, they're just like, that's the weird... Like, if somebody walks out in a comedy club, it's dark, you don't see it.
Yep.
He goes, they're like, they fire up their engine and leave.
Right.
It's a really strange feeling.
Hey, you know what does not bring a strange feeling?
What's that?
Our sponsors.
We
hope not. We don't really know what they're going to say, but...
There's a lot of trust, just like eclipse glasses.
Just like eclipse glasses in Walter Cronkite. Let's take a moment to hear a word from a few of our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Johnny, something else big happened last week.
Oh.
And we're not going to get into the minutia of it.
Oh, okay.
Because we're not usually that kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to just tell you one story.
Oh, boy.
So it's primaries last week.
Yeah, sure.
Did you vote?
I didn't vote
okay.
in the primaries.
So no. Don't complain.
I won't. I mean, there's a good chance I'll complain.
I said that to somebody. I was like, don't complain. They're like, we don't. And I was
oh,
like,
really?
Well, that's a good way to live.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
What's that like?
I felt very convicted. It was easy for me to vote because our church was a voting.
It was raining and, oh, you were, I could have come vote here?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because it was raining over at the school and I was like,
who's got time to engage in.
I didn't know what it was. I really didn't know what was happening.
Honoring the sacrifice of fallen soldiers who
deserve
democracy. And God forbid that it rained.
I didn't. Do you think they fought in the rain? I didn't know what it was.
It's an election, Johnny.
But I didn't know. I knew it wasn't the general, and I knew because I thought it was just for like school board stuff. I didn't know
that was a big part of it. No, it was. It was also.
And I don't know who I'd vote for school board because I don't have a child.
I could have told you.
So you would be basically using my vote as a proxy vote for you?
Well, I mean,
in a way for you to get two votes. You think that's fair?
If you mean that by being one of the few educated voters that I help other people become educated, then the answer is yes.
Boy.
So anyway, I walk in. It's at church. So I walk down the hallway.
Yeah.
And I walk in, and Johnny, I don't know if they're not allowed to laugh or whatever, you know? I think they're supposed to remain fairly apolitical.
Uh-huh.
But I walk in, and I hand her my license. She's like, oh, okay. She's like, have you changed addresses since the last election?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, but I might have to after this one. She looked at me. I mean, it was like, I don't know. It's like I blew. There was like a gasket in her head. She had no idea what to say. I was like, oh, I guess we're not joking. You know, I just kind of like walked to the next one. And then I tried again because I felt so uncomfortable. I was like, I don't think she liked my election joke to the next lady. Because you have to go to like three tables, you know, usually. And she's like, oh, really? I was like, I told her. And then she did the same thing. Like,
no.
I was like, I'm just going to shut up and vote. So I didn't specify.
Shut up and vote is a good slogan, by the way.
I didn't specify which outcome was going to cause me.
So
possibly
we were on the way to lunch yesterday, my wife and I, and we drive past the school. It's rain, pouring down rain. And I realize, oh, it's election day. That's why there's all these signs out. People are standing there. And a guy is walking in the rain in shorts and a T-shirt and a hoodie. And it's pouring rain on him. Under his arm, he's on his way. He's crossing the street to get to the school. He's on the little walking path.
Also, it's a crosswalk.
No, he's on the walking path. He's going to cross the crosswalk to cross the street.
He's on the sidewalk.
Yeah, the sidewalk. But it's like a walking path by Del Webb.
It's
right across from the elementary school.
Yeah.
So he's on that, and he's crossing over. And I noticed that under his arm is a folded-up umbrella. And he never... And I was so struck by the imagery of like a man who is in a rainstorm...
Getting soaked.
Walking to vote. And I was like, and I looked at Curry and I go, and his vote counts just as much as yours. A man who is literally like, I can't forget this umbrella under my arm as I walk in a rainstorm. And I was like, I want to know what's going on with that guy.
Oh,
like,
no.
I'll never know. I'll never know what, maybe he forgot. Maybe it was broken. Maybe he's like, this stupid thing doesn't work. But now I'm too far from my car to take it back. All I know is, you have the solution under your arm, sir.
Yeah. Maybe he thought, was there lightning in the area? Maybe he thought,
I don't know.
I think you're still safer with an umbrella and lightning.
There was no lightning.
I mean, you are holding up a metal rod.
Yeah. I don't think you're safer.
Yeah.
But what is the rule on umbrellas and a lightning? I guess you, I don't know.
I don't know.
Go lay in a ditch? What do you do? That's tornado.
I've had to get under trees before and call my wife to come get me if I was out running.
Isn't a tree really unsafe because they're more likely to be struck?
Well, I feel like, so I have a true reasoning I can remember.
It strikes the tree and not you?
I have this, but I want that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I have like this feeling that just me though, it thinks I'm another tree. You know what I'm saying? I want to be better to go be with the other trees that aren't getting struck right now than to be one.
I'm starting to understand this bald eagle thing a little more. Your reasoning, yeah.
I can't, Johnny, it's a true story. It's a weird story, but it happened.
Yeah.
I can't help it. It happened.
Did the eagle talk to you? Be honest.
The eagle said nothing,
Johnny.
He didn't have to say anything. There was an understanding. No, it was weird. I mean, I don't know. Johnny, weird things happen to me sometimes.
Uh-huh. Let me ask this part. When you called Drew, did he offer his bald eagle story or did he just agree with your story? I saw the same one. Like, did it go?
I think I said it first, maybe.
Yeah.
And he was like, no way. And then he went into,
okay.
But it wasn't like a, why would he, who makes that up?
I don't know.
He was like, you know what? John's telling me a crazy story. I'm just going to tell it I know the same story.
People like to one-up each other. You know, you saw an eagle. I saw two eagles.
That's not what he did, though.
Right.
He
saw the same eagle.
He described the same eagle. Yeah.
Man. We'll never know.
You'll never. I know this messes with you. I know you don't want.
What's
I know
crazy
you want this to not be true.
No, what I desperately want is for me to be in Vincennes, Indiana, and see a bald eagle. just so that I can call you and be like, you're not going to believe this.
Guys, if y'all can.
Not only did I see him, but he whispered to me, you are my most wondrous creation. And then he flew off.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. We shared a bond. We looked deep into each other's eyes.
How do we know he's a he? I think that's a real stereotype, by the way.
You're right. There could be a female bald eagle. Female baldness is a thing.
It is a thing.
People don't.
Yeah, we don't talk
about it
as
much. It's more rare, but yeah. I don't know.
Hey, Johnny, I think it's that time.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. John, for John's quote of the week.
This little segment we like to call They Talked About That. Johnny, this week, it's shocking who I'm going to quote.
Okay.
Friedrich Nietzsche.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I thought it was an interesting quote.
Philosopher.
He says, again, I don't ascribe to everything he believes.
No, known to be kind of a nihilist.
Atheist.
A lot of dark atheist nihilist, yeah.
Yeah. Family-friendly show we got going on here.
Sure.
Yeah, but he says, it is not a lack of love, but a lack of friendship that makes unhappy marriages.
Oh, wow.
Not a lack of love, a lack of friendship. You know, you've been married
28 years.
We're going on 24 mm-hmm. this year. And obviously, as a pastor, I do a lot of marriage, premarital counseling, and then, you know, in community, there's, you know, marriage stuff. And so, I mean, I've just seen a lot of marriage stuff. And there is something to what he's saying here because, when someone's in crisis, I've often heard that, you know, there's two things. Either I don't love her or I don't love him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not sure I ever really loved them in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's the one. And I try not to be like ahas and one up people in those situations because there's lots of stress already and pressure for them. But I will usually gently say on the second one, you know, I don't think it's possible that you didn't actually love them in the beginning. Because there's this feeling that marriage love, because the vows say so and all, that it should last and get stronger. And often it does, and it should. So there's like this almost feeling of if it didn't, then it must not have been real.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's too much of a cognitive dissonance to go back and say, oh, it was real, and then something changed.
Yeah, I squandered it, or we didn't do something to keep the fire burning.
Right.
We didn't take the steps necessary to deepen it.
It's a heavy, a heavy feeling, you know,
right.
Or even just circumstantially things happen, but certainly the mistakes. So I think there's that. And then I think number two, with, you know, I don't love them anymore, that's actually a better thing to say because it indicates that, well, if you did love them once, and you think you don't now, you know, you've already one time not known them and then loved them. So it's possible actually to love again, as long as you acknowledge that it was real in the first place. But I do think those things I see in strong marriages, there is a, I don't want to say compatibility. I mean, that's obvious, I think.
Yeah.
But I struggle with the compatibility side from a faith standpoint, from a community standpoint. I always go, you know, you're going to change so much over the course of your lifetime. I really do believe if you apply God's ways that odds are you will become more compatible for one another.
It's almost like adaptability is more important.
Yeah.
Like, because I mean, I think about all, I always tell people like I've tried to starve my wife and I in numerous ways. I make that joke because we've worked for nonprofits. Mm-hmm. I took a job at a church cleaning the church.
Yeah.
I got into stand up. I was in a Christian rock band. I mean, there's so many ways. And my wife is always so like, if that's what your dream is, go do it. And that's why she's my best friend.
Yeah.
She's so supportive and she's adaptable. Mm-hmm. And I try to adapt to things as her needs are, as her life changes happen. And we've been through crises together and it deepens our relationship because we're adaptable. There's compatibility there too. We have core values that we agree on for sure. But we don't agree on everything.
No.
But there is like an adaptability to us.
And I think it's important in relationships before you get into something as deep as marriage that, yes, you do share. I think those core values really do matter because they're coming out one way or another.
Yeah.
If someone's either going to have to change their core values or you're going to be, there's going to be, and you can get through that friction. But I think certainly, obviously, sharing at least, you know, some similar viewpoints on faith, I think is important. I think obviously on children and things like that. Mm-hmm. That being said, those things even will shift. And I'm trying to be very careful because marriage is just, each one is so different, mm-hmm. you know, and like I told the Lord this week in prayer, like, cause I feel like I need to confess it a lot. Like, cause my marriage is a very safe place for me. It's a place I feel very, like, I want to go home. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go home all day long because that's where Laura is. And she's working there. But if I could just be near her, or I know this is hard to say to my best friend even, but in general, if I have to pick going out with a bunch of buddies and going out with my wife, you know, mm-hmm. I legitimately enjoy my wife's company more than anybody else in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, the best part is if we all get to go together kind of thing. But like long trips without her, seeing things in the world that are really cool or whatever, I really struggle with that because it doesn't feel, I'm built to share in one-on-one yeah. kind of ways. So I don't like to experience those. And other people aren't built that way, and that's okay. There's not a right or wrong way. But I tell the Lord, like, I need to confess to you, like, our marriage being great, it's not like I didn't do anything right.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because that it's too much of a blessing for me to be foolish enough to be like, oh, well, we really worked hard on this and whatever. I mean, we work, but I recognize that the outcome is way more than the kind of work you can put in. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect, but I think you're right. There's been an adaptability, a willingness to adapt even.
Yeah.
But I think if you approach marriage with humility, that's the biggest one, that which is adaptability. Like, hey, I'm open to my way not being the only way.
Yeah.
I'm open to hearing your way. I'm open to losing so that you can win. It's a preference of another. I mean, those kinds of things at the core, which are harder for some people than others, depending on the personality types and how they are. But I do think if you can build those things into friendship, I think he's right about that.
Yeah, like loving each other is important, but if you don't like each other, mm-hmm. you can't build a marriage. If you're like deep down, you have contempt for that person.
Yeah.
Like that's a, you know, the bridge is out. It's not going to work. If you yeah. have like, if you're in like constantly bad faith arguments with each other where you're expecting the worst yeah. from that person, that's not a friend. You're not treating that person like a friend. And so you can't have a healthy marriage with that attitude.
Well, and it's a high stress situation often.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is a weird place to make friends in some ways.
Yeah. But I'm with you. There's no way, like, I could just say, like, oh, we just did all the right things. We were such kids when we got married. So it's just I'm so grateful for it that it worked out the way it has because it could have gone. We're nowhere near the same people that we were that when we got married. So we've changed a million times each. So I'm very grateful. And we've gotten real mushy, didn't we?
We did. Although I will say this, I'm writing a book with someone and it's on topic of communication in marriage. Uh-huh. And some really interesting brain research about it that basically it's about affirmation mm-hmm. and we're dealing with that like, yeah, but what if the other person really is doing a bunch of stupid things or being lazy or not helping or not,
right.
you know? And so that feels fake and inauthentic for me to just, you know.
Right, to affirm that.
To affirm. And they go into the things of, and actually this is from some of the anatomy of peace stuff that I've talked about before, like when you only criticize, even if it's true, but you refuse to see any of the good, mm-hmm. but and you begin to believe the good doesn't exist at some point, you actually collude with that person to produce the outcomes that you are upset about.
Hmm.
Because what they're not going to do generally, feeling criticized and just, like you said, you don't even feel like a friend.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to find meaningful change.
Yeah.
That's going to reverse that. So at some point you have to love them as a person. This is obviously, guys, the context, the disclaimer needs to always be made. If you're in an abusive situation, if you know, we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
Like we're not talking about that. Like, please find help, get out, make changes, protect yourself. We're not saying like stay in situations where you shouldn't stay. But there's an encouragement to go that you actually can, because, and I think from a faith standpoint, you can say, they actually quoted scripture where, and it's, again, these are hard scriptures in Ephesians, where God says, hey, you know, wives respect your husbands out of reverence for God.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, why am I choosing a path, and that's not just a deference, and this person is my boss and all those things. I'm not getting to that level. But like just a simple, can I find a way to respect this other person because of my relationship with God? Like even if I'm struggling to find the reasons, could I find one because of him instead of because of what he's doing in my life and not just because of the other person? And it's a freeing thing. Mm-hmm. And that's really the love of God passed on to other people is based on that. You know, that's 12-step recovery as well. Speaking with someone last night, like there's a situation in their life. And when you talk about forgiveness, I was like, when you really get into it, forgiveness is a matter between you and God.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you don't need to still request forgiveness from others because you did harm. It's not what that means. It's not a get out of jail free card. But when you need forgiveness from someone else that you can't, or you need them to make it right and they're not going to, you can actually find that thing you're looking for between you and God and be free if they never come around and do the right thing because God's doing the right thing for you. And like there's a real freedom to like, I can now maybe even see this relationship in a different viewpoint than just my need for you to say you're sorry for what you did, which you should, Johnny. You should.
Well, it's not going to happen today, John.
Well, that's a good thing with me and God are good.
We're getting closer, but you're not getting that apology out of me.
May take another 300 episodes for that one. So anyway, Nietzsche, never thought I'd quote him on the podcast, but there you go.
I like to think we scored a little points with our wives with that little diatribe.
Everything I said was true, I promise.
Everything I said was true, too. Yeah. And I love you, sweetie.
Yeah.
Let's go wrap the show up again with our This Week in History segment. We call it Talk About Then. John, this week, 1930, the discovery of the dwarf planet Pluto is announced. It had been discovered from pictures taken earlier by the Lowell Observation in Arizona. Do you know if Pluto is still a planet? I don't know.
I get really frustrated with that. Why are we always changing the status of Pluto?
Was it not because it was like too small, or was it too far out of the solar system?
Know.
What was the problem with the recertification?
I don't know.
There's no way to find out. But I think it's back to being a planet again.
Yeah, I think it went to a moon for a while, then came back
to
a planet.
Did they call it a moon or a...
Well, what else would you call it?
I don't know.
And I mean, I guess it has to...
A heavenly body?
...orbit something in order to be... Again, no way to know. But leave it alone. It's my childhood. Pluto...
That's true. We knew that there were was it nine? There's nine planets that orbit.
I'll never forget the day they said that Pluto's not a planet. I mean, bro.
Oh, people
I couldn't
wept.
Eat.
People wept in the streets.
Yeah.
John, this week... Christian Kent Nelson was born in 1893. He was Danish-born American ice cream vendor. He patented the first ice cream bar in 1922. Nelson's patent was, quote, to provide a frozen dainty comprising a form retaining block or brick of ice cream, or the like, also to provide an encasement, therefore, which facilitates its ready handling.
Huh.
It's very sophisticated language
around
ice cream.
I like the idea of
an
ice cream the size of
a
brick.
It's ready handling.
Yeah.
Well, look, some of them are pretty big. He originally sold them as ice cream bars.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, what in the world?
That's where the joke came from, maybe.
But later partnered with a local chocolate producer, Russell Stover, which, that guy, that's who you partner with.
Yeah.
You hitch your wagon to the Stovers.
He's like, first thing we're doing, getting rid of your stupid name or whatever.
Yeah.
I can hear Stover now.
He mass-produced them under the name. Do you want to know that? You've watched all these food documentaries. Do you remember the first ice cream bar? Eskimo Pie.
No, was it really?
Which I guess is like the Haagen-Dazs. What do they have? Not the Haagen-Dazs, but the Klondike. In Eskimo Pie, very similar to a Klondike bar. Which just
but they don't have a bar the Klondike.
They don't have a stick in them, but they have it's a bar. It's a frozen
bar, but not a stick.
It's encased. Yeah.
Those are my favorite when I was a kid. I called them polar bears.
Okay.
Sure,
because it has a little polar bear on it. Look at you.
And that's how I ate a lot of polar bears, guys.
And bald eagles, too. Nelson received the inspiration for his invention when a boy in his store...
I thought you were about to say Nelson received the Pulitzer Prize.
Received the inspiration because a boy in his store was unable to decide whether to buy ice cream or a chocolate bar. So he ventured forth to find a way to combine the two.
Did the boy start screaming? Because where did he come with the name?
I know. It
just sounds like
I think
it.
He pictured like ice cream with delight,
right.
Not like ice cream with terror.
But when do you ever scream with delight?
We all scream, John.
And I will say that the expression holds.
Yeah.
Ice cream, you scream.
This one's a little dark. This week, 1980, would-be presidential assassin... Would-be presidential assassin John Hinckley Jr. watches the film Taxi Driver for the first time. I don't know if you knew this, but John Hinckley, the reason he tried to assassinate President Reagan...
Was to impress
Jodie Foster, who he was obsessed with after watching Taxi Driver. It led to his attempted assassination of Reagan the following March in an effort to impress Foster. So it's like, yeah, what a weird... It's not great.
I've never dated anyone that would be impressed by that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess when you get that far down into obsession, you're just like, I don't know.
Well, that's mental health issues.
Yeah, does he? John, come on.
I mean...
Yeah, it's wild. But and have you ever seen Taxi Driver?
No.
No. So you don't...
I was thinking of Taxi with Danny DeVito.
That was a show, John.
Yeah.
Taxi Driver. It won Academy Award, I think. Robert De Niro. Okay.
Okay.
Finally, John. Sir Malcolm Campbell was born this week, 1885, died in 1948. He was the first to drive at this speed. What do you want? Do you want to guess the speed that he was the first to drive at?
Was he a stunt driver kind of thing?
He was a British Hall of Fame auto racer.
Okay, so he's a racer. So it's not like just a guy that accidentally went too fast.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess he went at the speed of 65.
He went 300 miles per hour.
What? In what year?
In 1935 at the Bonneville Salt Flats of Utah, because they had to go out there where it's totally...
On what?
He was, let's see.
300?
His car, Bluebird, made two runs over a one-mile course, averaging 301.129 miles per hour. He later went on to set the water speed record of 141 miles per hour in 1939. So this guy was land and sea.
He could not... 300 miles per hour.
300 miles per hour in his... he had it. Listen to this car. It was a 2,227 cubic inch, 2,500 horsepower V12 engine in this car.
What the what?
So he was hauling on this salt flats. And that's where there's a movie Anthony Hopkins did called The Fastest Indian or something like that. And it's about an Indian motorcycle. And he sets the land. He offered a motorcycle on those salt, same salt flats. Then he came off the bike and died. That was how he died. He died on the salt flats. And I don't know if this guy, it doesn't say how he died.
I mean, how could back? I don't know. What year?
You don't want to come off the bike if you're.
No.
On salt flats, because
you know what though,
it'll cut you.
If that was going to be the case, though, I would have think I'd put a parachute on. And if you feel yourself tipping, pull it, and you'll go flying in the air, and you'll just land around your feet.
John just invented drag racing.
I mean, it would have worked.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know, but you got to get your aerodynamics down. You can't have anything. You know, you need the air to.
It's foolproof.
You give up safety measures to go get the speed, and then if something goes wrong, you just.
Yeah, I don't.
You end up on This Week in History.
See, I don't. There's nothing out there that I want to set a record for worth my life, Joey.
Well, that's what I want to ask you as we close today. What is the fastest you've ever been in your car? Nobody's going to get in trouble. You're not going to get in trouble. Your mom listens to the show, but you were probably a kid when you did this. You hot dogged in your car.
I wasn't hot dogging my fastest. My fastest was I was engaged in. Laura called and she was being rushed to the hospital in Nashville and I was in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Because she had a brain aneurysm.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know if she was going to be alive when I got there. Shouldn't have been. And I jumped in my car in Knoxville and I did 120.
Right.
Between 110 and 120 most of the way.
Wow.
Put on my hazards.
No ticket.
I mean, I was praying the whole way. Yeah. And I made it from Knoxville to Nashville, just normally a 2.5 hour drive in an hour and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
So speeding works, kids.
Yeah.
Get out there. And
and that's over a mountain. I knew, you know, again, I knew I-40 really well.
You're like, but I'm a great driver.
Guys, it's okay. I'm better than the rest of everyone. When I speed,
it's okay.
I do tell Sadie that when I'm teaching her to drive right now. I'm like, look, I'm going faster right now than I will ever expect you to do until you've been driving about 20 years. And then, if you want to go this fast...
And you really think she's going to buy?
Oh, she's
that.
Absolutely.
20 years, she's hilarious. You can go 80 in 20 years, sweetheart. Around then, you'll probably start dating a boy, and then, and only then, can you get married. But let's call it 20 years.
20's a good, it's a good round number. Yeah, everything's going to be fine.
You're just the best dad. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm not your child. Because that'd be weird.
It would be. You're older than me.
Yeah.
We did go driving at night the other night.
Oh, boy.
And,
how'd that go?
She did great.
Yeah?
She did. She did. We're in the Jeep.
Oh, man. So you're teaching her on the...
She likes
rough
the Jeep.
And tumble in the Jeep.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it doesn't... It hugs the road, but it you have to...
It's a challenge to drive a Jeep.
You got to keep moving the wheel to stay, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's got the big, you know, snow tire things on it. So, I mean...
It's a loud vehicle.
That's the issue with the Jeep. We love the Jeep, but if we have to drive...
Oof. Like, that road noise gets to you.
We
got to crank that radio up.
If you get on the interstate, you go okay on other roads. Well, we had to go to an hour away for a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, can we please take the car? She's like, why? I was like, because... When we got on 840,
yeah,
it's gonna be 35 minutes of, you know, it's like, and we can't talk or whatever.
Yeah,
and
sounds like a dog's in the back. Somebody shut that dog up. John does impressions.
I do, guys. Yeah,
John, let's tell him about the website.
You mean talkaboutthatpodcast.com?
The same. Oh. If you go there, you can click on that upper right-hand link. That's how you support the show. Get ad-free content. We love our patrons. If you want to send us a note, go to the lower right, click on that little voice bubble, or send an email to hello@talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
We're aware that the URL is long.
And we're sorry.
We used to have, if you remember, when Dane first set it up, it was...
At TalkAB.
It was TalkAB That Pod.
Yeah, TalkAB That Pod.
Yeah. Talk AB That Pod.
Yeah.
And so we stopped that.
We stopped AB that.
Because it was so much harder. We're like, we know it's going to be confusing if we make it too long. So, guys, all you got to do is remember, Talk AB That Pod. It was like, yeah. So, yeah.
Then the number 7, / anyway, go leave us a note. Yeah. We love hearing from you. Things you want us to talk about. If you have questions for us. Anybody got questions? We love to answer questions.
We love it.
We're an expert on our own opinion. That's what we'll tell you.
And if there's no way to know, we'll just let you know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. You probably could just Google it. You know what? Don't send us a question.
No.
Just Google it.
No.
They know more.
There's just people sitting around right now at Google answering questions.
Like a Genius Bar.
Yeah.
At Apple Store.
Yeah.
They're wearing robes for some reason.
Didn't that ice cream guy make a Genius Bar?
I always wish the Genius Bar would have robes.
Yeah.
Like a tribal council that come out. It's very official. You're like, wow, these people
That'd
really
be great. Like they're wearing little square hats that you wear at the
university.
Like
Supreme Court justices.
That'd be nice.
I've decided your hard drive is broken. And then you gotta like, they shame you in front of everybody.
Take a gavel every time.
Yeah.
Number 45, clunk.
Your warranty has expired, sir. You're in contempt. Good grief. I didn't know I was going to get...
Bailiff, bar the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild. Anyway.
That went somewhere. I like that.
You like that? Thank you.
I think you have something there for a bit.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. We're going to work this out. You may see that on the road in Vincennes, Indiana.
Nice.
The big eclipse show.
It may be your biggest show, Johnny. You don't know.
Something?
Come
hey,
for the eclipse, stay for Johnny W.
We don't know. That could be the end of the world. We don't know what's going to happen in the eclipse.
Yeah,
is the sun going to come back out from behind the moon?
Tomorrow?
We don't know. We don't know.
I don't know. What if it never comes back out?
We know that it has in days past. Wait, future past?
In the future days past.
That's the X-Men. Pretty cool.
Hey, by the way, we did have a listener reach out and ask if we have like places where sermons are found. And so occasionally we say that. You guys, if you want to hear...
Sure, if you want to hear John's preaching.
Yeah, so I spoke last week because it reminded me on like eschatology and those kind of stuff.
I was there.
You were there. Yeah, and I thought, this must be the end of the world.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, it was great to have you there.
Thank you.
But yeah, you can go to church@pleasantgrove.com.
Mm-hmm. Church AB. No. Church.
It's also a long one.
Church at Pleasant Grove.
You actually can do grovechurchmj.com as well. That's a foreigner taking the same place.
Grovechurchmj.com.
Yeah.
Check out John's preaching, man. John brings it.
I'm only answering a question. I don't think you should go listen all the time.
No, you should, for sure. It's good stuff.
But if you're interested in more content, that's what we're doing over there. So, yeah. Man, speaking of content, Johnny, it was fun today.
It was. I enjoyed being with you and with our fair listeners.
Yeah. You guys are the best. So thank you for listening. And let's just do it again next week. I'll
talk about that.
It's a crazy world out there, moms and dads. I'm Catherine Seegers, host of Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.